Hello and welcome to this special sort of mid-season chat episode of Life is for the Living. I am your host, Rebecca Richman, and with me today is our producer, Marco Berlow. Hey, Marco, how's it going?
Hello. Hello. I'm doing well, thank you.
All right. Well, we're halfway through the season, and you know, I'm super excited for all these guests. What's hit home for you for the first six episodes?
Wow. Okay. So the first six episodes were quite full
yes.
of a lot of different stories,
yes.
a lot of different backgrounds, and that's a testament, I believe, to your ability to find really interesting people to be part of our little side hustle here, I guess.
Yeah.
And I think that there's a couple stories that kind of allowed me to learn a little bit more about activism, because I have to fully admit I am not an activist type of person. That is not in my nature. But just to hear about how these folks came into activism, and some of them, it was quite accidental. You know, you look at Susie, you know, wanted to be an actress and then just started learning how to organize and got herself involved in a bunch of different, you know, organizations. Listening to Jan and the fact that she was kind of like this spunky kid that just wanted to do right
yeah.
all the time. So, like, I think for me, just the diversity of backgrounds has been kind of eye-opening for me. But I think, like, the one story that, you know, resonates with me more than anything else is Susie's story.
Yeah.
About the fact that when she was working as a social worker and when she had to tell people, okay, these are the options of things that you have in alphabetical order. Number one being abortion.
Yes.
And then telling the story about having to go through an abortion where a mother and a daughter
yeah.
were impregnated by the same person. And so that was just kind of, she even said it herself, it was the worst thing that she had to go through.
Yeah.
And yeah, for me, that was the one that kind of like sent chills down my spine.
Oh yeah. That one, it's so funny because, you know, I'm interviewing this lovely little old lady, and, you know, she busts out with that one. And then the story about like filming herself getting a gynecological examination. And yeah, so she certainly had some stories. And yeah, also speaking of sort of people who got not dragged in, but, you know, just sort of accidentally stumbled into it. Denise had never had a desire to be a Black Panther. And then suddenly, well, I guess she started as a young lord and then like,
wave the magic wand.
Yeah, suddenly you're a young
you have
lord.
Been blessed.
Right? But you can also tell that even though some of them stumbled into it, but like there's a drive and an energy there that I don't necessarily have. Like, I want to make the world a better place, but just some of the stuff that Denise and Susie experienced, and well, what all of them experienced, you know, and like Jessica, it clearly takes a toll on somebody.
Well, the fact that Jessica, like at the very beginning, you know, was kind of shocked that she is a trans elder now.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, trans issues are in the news a lot these days. It's a hot button topic for a lot of folks. And she was part of that, you
yeah,
know, before
generation.
You and I were even born.
Yeah.
And so, like, to think about what kind of struggles and hardships she went through during, quote unquote, a less accepting time.
Yeah.
Like, the fact that she made it.
Yeah.
Is a testament to, like, her resilience, her drive, her ability to use her abilities to advocate for herself and other people in her community.
Yeah. And it also, she's a really good example of showing that I mean, she did go out and you know, she in future episodes, she talks about, you know, going out and giving your body to the protest. But a lot of her work was done, at, you know, basically as office work, as pushing institutions to actually see trans people as a category that needed to be discussed and who had separate needs for healthcare and protection.
Yeah. Well, the fact that she advocated for that in all of the surveys that she's done and being, you know, a data scientist that works inside the federal government, you know, advocating for this marginalized group of people and talking about them as, hey, these folks are important.
She's right. There were more in her time, but there still are a lot of existential threats to trans people, and they're much more likely to have healthcare issues. And, you know, AIDS, obviously a big concern, but also just, you know, mental health, much higher rates of suicide and mental health problems. So, as you said, it's impressive that she made it to the age that she did, but it shouldn't be impressive. Like,
I know. Yeah. We shouldn't be, you know, shocked that, oh, you made it to the ripe old age of, you know, I can't remember how old she is. To see the work that she has done, and it speaks to, you know, my ethos essentially, and yours too, I would imagine that both you and I are kind of data driven people, right? We work for an industry where it's all data driven. And, you know, when you are trying to change perceptions or you're trying to get people to at least acknowledge that there is a problem of some kind, sometimes the best way is to kind of like show that here's the data. Here's the data that proves it. And, you know, unfortunately, there are people out there that be like, bah, well, you know, that doesn't mean anything. You can change the data to make it look like whatever you want to be. And there's a certain level of truth to that, but at the same time, what else are you going to use? You're just going to use your feelings, and you're going to be like, hey, I feel that there are a lot of trans folks out there that are not getting the healthcare that they need.
People aren't going to listen to that. And
exactly.
Belinda brought that up too, like, you need to know your facts and figures to have that conversation. Exactly. For one thing, it's easy if you're in a place where the disparity is a little bit less obvious, you can be like, oh, it's, you know, gender discrimination is over. But then you actually start looking at the stats and you're like, oh, gender discrimination is most definitely not over, particularly when you're talking about the people who have the money and have the power in the American and Canadian institutions.
Yes, exactly. Listening to Belinda talk, It was great because, like, I don't get a chance to sit on all these interviews that you have. I get a chance to sit with some of them. Belinda was my guest, obviously, Canadian person. And I was really interested in what she mentioned, that there's only 10% of the CEOs are actually women in the world, like 10%. And, you know, the fact that there hasn't been a female president yet. Mm-hmm. And she, I remember her saying, and we're okay with this. And I was just like, you're right. Like, it seems silly. Like, you look at other developed countries, look at Germany, and, or you even, know, Merkel, you know, was there for years.
Pakistan had a female PM.
There you go.
You know, like,
exactly. So, like, it just, I like her point of view in terms of seeing how activism can manifest itself in leadership, because activism needs leaders. You have to have somebody that you believe in, you know, whether it's somebody that is, you know, the head of an organization or maybe just running a demonstration or something like that. Part of being a good leader, more than anything else, is getting people to buy into your vision.
Right.
And getting people to understand, hey, this work that you're doing is going to make an impact. It is going, you may not feel it. And I think that was another thing that I kind of like took away from the stories, is the fact that a lot of these, you know, activities that we do for activism, you're never going to see the results of them.
Yeah.
And that's a hard thing to handle. That's just like you put in all this effort, but you don't see the fruits of your labor.
Dive into, like, that's a little bit into the next episode where we really dive.
Is it?
In. Yes, it is.
I apologize. It's probably because I'm working on it right now.
Yeah, and
I'm
just, no.
It's front of mind.
Yeah. Well, hey, it's a heads up for people. You know, like, it's definitely, it's so hard to push through when it feels like you're not making any progress.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, in the next episodes, we have our guests talk about how they do that, how they handle it. And they have some really great advice and just sort of acknowledging that it's common. Like you have to, Denise says you can't believe in microwave justice. Like right. You just
love that line.
Yeah. It's a really great way to put it. You have to understand that even if what you're doing doesn't feel like much, you're pushing in the right direction.
I think that episode, the advice for activism episode, we have a lot of content, so much so
that
we had to break it up into two separate episodes because there was just so much to go through, so much. And a lot of it was phenomenal just to kind of hear how they actually go and do these activities and how they internalize it.
Yeah.
And I think there's some great advice there for anybody that wants to get involved in any type of activism.
Absolutely. I learned a lot from some of the advice that they gave, and it's actually influenced me. I've started, it's small, but there's in the city of Shoreline where I live, they're cutting down a bunch of trees by the sidewalk. And I've been, you know, emailing my city council and doing a little of protesting of that and, you know, pushing them to think it's sort of the bigger picture of like, I know we live in Seattle, but it's getting hot here.
Exactly.
And we can't just because we have some, you know, we've got a fair amount of trees, but like you can't just be trees are, you can cut down any trees indiscriminately and it's not going to have any effect.
Right.
Because we're going to see heat island effects, coming through, and you know those loss of those trees is gonna bring up the temperature around where I live.
Yeah, exactly.
And so
we'll see. That's great.
I know, and I can't like, stop the sorry, I know I can't stop the trees from coming down, but maybe it makes them think a little bit harder the next time that they think about removing trees.
Right, exactly. And there's one thing that I believe Susie says in one of the episodes coming up that, like, even it's not necessarily a small thing.
Yeah.
Even the small things matter.
Yeah.
Right.
If you can just help one person out a little bit.
Exactly. And you share a story too, like during that episode about, you know, the one thing that you did. And it's all those cumulative little things that, you know, whether it helps somebody out through their day or gets them to where they need to be or whatever little thing you can do to kind of make someone's life a little bit easier, that makes them feel good. And in turn, you hope that they reciprocate to not only maybe you, but to other people as well, to be like, hey, I had this really crazy experience when I was in the United States. I was as an immigrant and someone showed me kindness and patience that I can do the same for others as well. So stay tuned for those episodes. Those are going to be really good.
Yeah. The next two episodes, well, all the episodes coming up, because we don't just have those. We have the Stuff of Life episode.
Ah, yes.
We have the story episode, which is.
Yes.
There's some good stories coming up, people. You really should check that one out. And then, of course, our traditional ending of just advice for life.
The stories one. I am excited for that one. That like I haven't started working on that one yet, but I know what's in it. And as a music nerd, it just spoke to me. And I was there during that interview, and I know you probably like kind of tuned out because there were two
music geeks kind of like can get excited about that particular story.
Okay,
100%. But it's
you
don't have
cagey.
You don't have to be a music geek to enjoy these stories.
This is true.
They're quite impressive.
This is true.
Denise, in particular, has lived quite the storied life.
Indeed. I see what you did there. That's really good. Yeah, storied life. Like, well done. That's why you're the writer, and I just like tinker on the computer and make it sound good.
Right. All right. Well, as always, lovely chatting to you.
Yes.
And
I always enjoy it. I'm always it's always nice to have an opportunity to sit down and talk about our work, even though, you know, we have a small audience, and we're gonna talk more about our audience in like the summary.
Yes. Yes, we have some questions.
We have questions, exactly. We'll be back.
Yes.
We'll be back at the end of the season, and hopefully when you get there, you guys can help us out and give us some answers to our questions. Inquiring minds want to know.
All right. Thanks, everybody, for joining and listening. Join us on Monday for the first of two Advice on Activism episodes. And as always, if you want to get a hold of us, you can reach us at lifeisfortheL on Twitter and Instagram, and lifeisfortheliving@gmail.com. Thanks so much.
Take care, everybody. Bye-bye.
Bye.